Certainly good to see everyone this morning. Good to have all of our visitors with us. We realize that many of you are visiting because of your mothers, and we wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. We have several, of course, that are visiting away today because of Mother's Day and for other reasons. Tom and his son Tommy are with his mother today in the hospital. Her condition is not good. Yesterday, it was reported that her blood pressure was like 50 over 40. So we want to remember Tom and, of course, Jean Bach in this difficult time. Hopefully they can get things corrected there. Josh and Brittany are down in Gatlinburg this weekend for a little getaway before their baby gets here, and so we hope that they'll have a good time and a safe journey back to us. Well, being as it is Mother's Day, I want us to think a little bit about mothers, and not just about mothers, but about each of us. It occurs to me that none of us are complete without God. Now, we don't know that unless God reveals that to us. We really don't know how incomplete we are until we begin looking into God's Word and we see how that we need Him and His guidance in our life in order to find completeness and fulfillment and the reason for the purpose that He created all things, and most especially that He created us. None of us are able to be what we can be, what God created us to be, without God at work in our lives. And so those who would fulfill the responsibility of being a mother. You know, we have many different things that we do in life, and each of us, because of our different responsibilities, because of our gender, you know, fathers have their responsibilities and mothers have their responsibilities and parents jointly have responsibility. And so we recognize that, you know, we're not all the same, that we do have different abilities, and therefore we have different responsibilities. Probably one of the most beautiful passages, I think, in the Bible is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is above rubies. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Clearly, God is revealing to us that the woman who fulfills her purpose as a mother and a wife is the one who's not focused on the things of society and the things of this life, but she's focused on the next life, not only for herself, but for the sake of her children, for the sake of her husband. The fullness of the blessings that mothers can bring to our lives are made full when they are activated by the power of God. When the spiritual nature is understood and practiced by mothers, and they instill it in their children. You know, you can, any woman is capable of, for the most part, of bearing a child. But there's a difference between giving birth and being a mother. There's a difference between focusing that child's attention upon who they are and who God created them to be and just letting them go through life. And you realize and I realize that a mother cannot instill that knowledge and awareness in their children unless they have that knowledge and awareness themselves. And so my challenge to mothers this morning is that we focus upon these beautiful children that have been entrusted into our care. God gave us our children, but God wants our children back. And His getting them back is largely dependent upon how we raise them as fathers and as mothers. Are we focusing their attention on spiritual things? You know, I can't help but think about this time of the year and you know, a lot of graduation ceremonies going on, and everybody's thinking about, well, what am I going to do after graduation, and what am I going to do for a living, and you know, all of those kinds. Those things are important, but they're not the most important thing. You know, and if I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do as a vocation, where I'm going to go to maybe higher education and that type of thing, and keeping God in mind in those things, then I'm going to fail as a person. I'm going to recognize that there's something missing in my life. And at the end of life and at the end of time, they'll become very apparent. We need to learn those lessons now. God has told us, He's given us His word to reprove us and correct us, to lead us in all righteousness and every good work. But that will do us no good if we don't give attention to what He says and revere His word and be found keeping His word in our lives. So we want to talk about the value of godly mothers this morning. The women in Scripture who are commended to us as examples of godly mothers are consistently represented to us as prioritizing God in their lives. Now, we could also talk about a lot of mothers who weren't focused on God, who lived life as if all there was to life is this life. But we're looking this morning at some mothers who prioritize God in their life and wanted their children to do the same. They instilled godly virtues in the lives of their children. They had the wisdom they needed to offer sound counsel and comfort and direction. They could supply their children that which was of the greatest and eternal value. You remember Hannah, who lived a good portion of her life childless. And that was a great concern to her. And finally, you'll remember she went to God in prayer and prayed intensely to God. And vowed that if God would give her a child, that she would dedicate it to the service of God. You can find all of that in 1 Samuel and specifically verse 11. But think about that. Mothers, you've had children. Some of you are going to have children. What's your intention for that child? Are you like Hannah? Will you dedicate them to God's service and indeed bring them up in the nurture and the correction of the of God's word? We need mothers today who are dedicated to dedicating their children to God, to understanding His will, and to comforting and conforming their lives to the will of God. Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother, as we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, instilled in Timothy a sincere faith, a genuine faith, so that he could live a godly life and be effective in serving Christ. Have you ever wondered what would have happened to Timothy? You know, we've got 1 and 2 Timothy in the New Testament. letters that were written by Paul to this evangelist, this young man who became so important in the first century in spreading the gospel. What would have Timothy been if it hadn't been for his mother and grandmother instilling these values in him and him reverencing God and dedicating himself to serving God? History would be different, wouldn't it? You might say, well, somebody else would have done it. Maybe somebody else would have done it. But we need to recognize that the reason Timothy did what he did was because of what his mother and his grandmother taught him. And because he had a heart that he wanted to follow their example and practice what they taught him. You have Mary, the mother of Jesus. She had a submissive spirit to God and said to him, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." She didn't understand what the angel was proclaiming to her. She was going to have a child that would be conceived of the Holy Spirit. Didn't understand any of that. She understood she was being spoken to by a messenger from the Lord. And her humble heart is expressed there. "Let it be to me according to your word." Have you ever thought about the fact that, you know, when you read the Word of God and you understand what it's saying, but you don't understand exactly how that works? But you understand what it's saying. And you realize that you're being called to repentance, or you're being called to conviction, you're being called to a higher level of practice of faith. You understand that, but you might not understand, "Well, I don't know how I get to that." Do you have the heart of Mary? "Let it be to me according to your word." Now, that's the attitude each and every one of us should have as we read the Word of God. If I'm convicted of sin and encouraged to repent, then we need to respond, "Let it be to me according to your word." If I'm called to a particular action by the Word of God, then we need to have this response of Mary: "Let it be to me according to your word." And so when the Word of God teaches us to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to focus their attention upon the fact that they're created in the image of God to live to the glory of God, that they are to revere God and keep His commandments, we need to respond, "Let it be to me according to your word." That is how I'll raise my children. The love of a mother is magnified when they surrender their hearts to the Lord and they instill in their children to do the same. I believe every mother loves their children. But that love is deepened when a mother realizes that this is a precious soul that is going to spend eternity either in the presence of God or in torment. And where they end up is greatly dependent upon how I teach them and the values that I instill in them. They provide what is best for today and secure hope for the future. Parenting apart from God's perspective is self-centered, temporal, and short-sighted. It's so easy for us to get caught up in our culture and what culture deems to be important. Culture deems to be education important and high-paying jobs important and sports to be important and all kinds of activities and popularity and what you wear and where you go and who your friends are. All of those things are important in our culture and to our culture, aren't they? But the child of God recognizes that You know, it's not important that my child be on a baseball team or some sports team, whatever. It's not important that they know every member of a collegiate or professional sports team and the statistics of their batting averages or all of those kinds of things. That's really not, although it might be interesting and might be a hobby, and there's nothing wrong with having an interest in it, but to prioritize that and say, look, you gotta get in on this. You gotta be up on that. No, not if they don't have an interest in it. One thing is important. Remember? Jesus said, one thing is important. That one thing, first and foremost, above every other thing. Not that having a good education and a good job and being interested in sports and any other kinds of activities, not that we can't do that, but we need to recognize what is important and always keep that first. Parenting based in righteousness is God-centered with eternity in view. You know, we're not talking about our standard of righteousness and what society's standard of righteousness is, or what, you know, my group understanding of righteousness is. We need to understand righteousness as God has revealed righteousness from His Word, and revere that and be found practicing the righteousness of God. We thank God for those mothers who so live and love, past and present. You know, we can talk about Hannah and Lois and Eunice and Mary and others who are obviously good mothers and great examples for us to follow. But I'm thankful that we have mothers in this congregation that we can look to as good examples, who don't just know what God tells us to do to be a good mother, but they are good mothers. And we can look to them as examples. Just like, you know, Jesus told the church at Sardis that many of them were about to die spiritually. He said, look to the faithful ones among you. I'm so thankful that we have mothers like that, and many mothers like that, whose focus is on righteousness and godliness and raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They are a great blessing to their families, to our culture, and of course, to the church. They are to be and will be blessed by God. God bless those godly mothers that we spoke of earlier. God knows who they are. He's written their name in a book. They had, you know, Hannah prayed that she could have a child, not for her own pride and self-esteem, but so that she could dedicate that child to God. God answered that prayer. You know, we need to understand that when we pray to God and we ask God for something, it's not just for us. The end of what we're looking for is to be to the glory of God, so that it might glorify God. Sometimes we need to recognize that when things are imperfect, that God can still be glorified. Paul had to learn that lesson. He had a thorn in the flesh. He thought it'd be better, he could glorify God better without his thorn in the flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he explained to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When people see your faith and your faithfulness, in spite of your spiritual weakness, or in spite of your physical weakness, he said, your spiritual strength is elevated, and I'm honored, I'm glorified. And Paul said, most gladly then, I'll bear these infirmities in the flesh, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. God's strength is seen in me. That's what he was saying. Always in every prayer, we need to pray that God will be glorified. in the answer to our prayer. Our honor of our mothers is given not just with flowers or meals or cards or gifts, as we do today and around this time of the year, but we honor them with how we live. If our mother has raised us to be honorable before God, to be righteous before God, to be faithful, to serve God in Christ Jesus, according to the doctrine of Christ, then we honor our mother when our lives are in line with what they have taught us. Timothy honored his mother and his grandmother because that's what they taught him to do. That was the greatest gift that Timothy could give back to them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So children, listen up. I've been talking about your mothers. But children, you need to listen. Obey your parents in the Lord. When your parents are instructing you in the Word of God, listen to what they say. Honor what they say, because it's not just their word. They're trying to honor God, and they want to see you honor God in your life. Obey your parents. That's a great gift. You might be giving your mother a card today or telling your mother Happy Mother's Day, but you know what's going to make her happier than anything else? It's when you obey your mother. Verse 2 goes on to say, "Honor your father and your mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with you, and that you may live a long time on the earth." You know, people who disobeyed God in Old Testament times, sometimes they didn't live so long. God got tired of their rebellion, their unfaithfulness, their sin. God made an example of them and ended their life. But those who lived a righteous life and honored God and glorified God generally lived a long time in good health. Verse 4 goes on to say, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." All right, now I've explained several times, and I guess maybe just about every time I come to this verse, I say it again because there might be some present who haven't heard it before. I've often wondered, you know, what right-thinking parent would want to provoke their children to wrath? But I don't really think that that's what he's saying. I think our understanding of provoking a child to wrath is found in the latter part of the verse, where he says, "Bring up your children in the training and the admonition, the corrections and the instructions of the Lord." Because if we fail to bring our children up in the training and the admonition of the Lord, then we make them subject to the wrath of God. Because invariably, they will go the way of all the world and practice the things of the carnal things of life rather than the divine nature. In Philippians 2 and verse 22, it says, Paul said of Timothy, he says, "You know his proven character, that as a son with a father, he served with me in the gospel." Timothy wasn't Paul's physical son, but Paul said, "He's continued with me. He's served the Lord with me. He's learned from me. He's practiced that which I've taught him from the Lord." And he says, "I hold him up. You know his proven character." In Proverbs 6 and verses 20 through 23, here we find that God speaks to us. He personifies himself. He personifies his own wisdom. And he speaks to us and he says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. What's he saying? You know, regardless of whether you hear God's word from your mother or from your father or from someone else, maybe a Bible class teacher, maybe a preacher, maybe a friend, but wherever you hear God's word from, listen to it. Revere God. Keep his commandments, and they'll keep you all the day long, throughout the night. There is great peace and comfort and joy in knowing that God created you in his image to live to his glory, and knowing that you are doing that, that you are turning from your sin, that you are ever turning unto righteousness and ever striving to grow in the practice of righteousness so that God will be glorified in your life, and hereafter you will be glorified with him in his presence. It's what Jesus came to do. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus came to save us from our sins by paying the price for our sins in his death. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He also said, except you repent, you will perish. And so, I need to know who Jesus is. I need to know he's my Savior. I need to acknowledge that, yes, I have sinned. And I need to have a desire to walk in righteousness with God and turn from my sin and turn to Christ. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Ananias reasoned with Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Jesus said to those who believed on him, if you abide in my word, if you continue to abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you know, we're all the child of somebody, aren't we? Here on earth. But are you a child of God? Has the seed of God's word been planted in your heart and you've let it germinate and grow and it's producing the fruit of righteousness in your life? If not, why not get started today? Why not give Christ your sin and give Christ your life and rise, walk with him in newness of life? Be dead to your sin and alive to righteousness. Become a child of God this very day. If you're here as a child of God and you recognize you're out of favor with God, you know, sometimes we get out of favor with our earthly parents, don't we? And we need to apologize and we need to do whatever they say we need to do to make things right. Well, the same thing with our Heavenly Father. We need to say, I'm sorry. We need to genuinely repent and confess our sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. If you're subject today to the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song.